How important is the home and family to you? What are you willing to do to make your family stable and functional? Are you willing to work long hours to provide materially for your family? Are you willing to rise up early and stay up late to accomplish all the goals and activities that the family has need of or is involved in? Are you willing to pursue education, material goods, comfort, recreation, and the like for your family? Just how important is a stable and functional family to you? Is having a stable and functional family important enough to you to let God build your house? I want to start with a passage in Psalms 127 in verses 1 and 2. Psalms 127 verses 1 and 2. It says, "Except Jehovah build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except Jehovah keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to take rest late, to eat the bread of toil, for so he giveth unto his beloved sleep." And so here he said that if Jehovah doesn't build the house, then you are laboring in vain. Except Jehovah keep the city, then the watchman waketh, but in vain. All of the things that we might be willing to do to stabilize and help our families are all a waste of time unless we are allowing God to build our house. And so again, are you willing to allow that? Are you willing to allow God to build your house? Today is the day, as has been mentioned, that we're going to begin our series of lessons on the family. We're calling it the fall focus on the family. And the idea came from, Edwin Crozier, who used to preach for the Franklin Road congregation in Nashville, or Franklin, actually, of course, years ago, would every year have a fall focus on some topic. And I always liked that idea and always wanted to do it and never had the opportunity. And I'm thankful that the elders are allowing me to do that. The other elders are allowing me to do that here. For us to spend several weeks just focusing on the family. And so we're going to present 9 lessons between now and Thanksgiving, except for 1 week, as has already been mentioned. I'll be out of town that week. And all of our lessons are going to have to do with the family in one way or another. And we've had in the bulletin the 2 previous weeks the list of the lessons. There are still some flyers on the front pew that have all of the lesson titles on them. And so I want to encourage you to try to come and be a part of all of these lessons. And I'm going to try to record them and put them on my website. And so if you have access to that, you'll be able to access the recordings that-a-way. But we want to have families that are built by the Lord. You remember over in the book of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus used an analogy that we're not going to really take the time to read, but it's there in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. He used the analogy of a man who would build his house upon the rock and another man building his house upon the sand. And you remember how the floods would come and the house built on the rock was fine with that, but the house built on the sand was destroyed. It fell. Well, in the same vein, we need to think about our house and whether it's built on a solid foundation that it needs to be built on, or if it's built on sand. Well, the only way to have it built on the right foundation is to have God to build our house. And so in this series, we're going to learn what God says about marriage, family, roles, goals, stewardship, relationships, many other aspects of the family as we go through the various lessons that we have prepared. And I want to encourage you to do your best to be present for these Sunday morning sermons for these next few weeks if you want to have a house that is able to stand in the storms of life that surely and we know do come. Now, as we begin this study, I want us to look here again in Psalms 127. And just think about some of the things that are found there. Usually this psalm, we think about this psalm as being a psalm about the family. And that's understandable. If you look at the next 3 verses here, verses 3 through 5, He goes right on to say, "Lo, children are a heritage of Jehovah, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be put to shame when they speak with their enemies in the gate." So clearly, Solomon in this passage is talking about the family. But we should also understand that he's talking about something else here as he began. Well, first of all, I did want to note that this is a psalm written by Solomon. And that's important to note, because that tells us a little bit about what he's talking about here. You remember Solomon, it was he who built the temple on behalf of God. It was his father David, and we'll talk more about this in a few moments. But David wanted to build it, and he wasn't permitted to do so, and so he made preparations for it. And Solomon is the one who actually built the temple. I believe that's the house that he's referring to in this passage. When he said, "Except Jehovah build the house, they labor in vain that built it." And then when he goes on to say, "Except Jehovah keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." I think the city that he's referring to there is obviously Jerusalem, the capital of the nation of Israel, and the place where the house of God, the temple, was built and where it resided. But there's another aspect of this psalm that we want to briefly note. If you look in your Bible, at least in mine, it has a heading saying that it is a psalm written by Solomon. But mine also tells me that it is a song of ascents. A song of ascents. Do you know what that is? This is one of the songs of ascents. And these songs of ascents were sung by the Israelites as they made their journey to Jerusalem, going up the mountain into where Jerusalem was. It was a song that they would sing on their way to Jerusalem for those annual feasts as they were going to worship at the house of God that was found there. And so they're singing as they go along. And this particular psalm, singing about God and his need to be the builder of the house and the watchman of the city as they are approaching the city, as they are approaching the house of God. So first and foremost then, this psalm had a national meaning to the Israelites who were singing it in those days. So long as the Jews allowed God to be the fundamental basis upon everything they did, God's house and God's city were protected. However, if they would not allow God to build the house and protect the city, then they would fail. And as we know, that happened on multiple occasions. But this psalm was first and foremost about the house of God, the city of God, the nation of God. And yet, this nation, remember, was a family. It was comprised of the 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Israel. And so it was a family. So it has a very clear application to the family as well. Just as he's talking about the nation in this psalm, he's talking about the individual family. Our lesson today is titled, "Unless the Lord Builds the House." And what we want to do in our lesson is to keep this historical context in mind and to examine the God-built and God-protected house and city, and just make some parallel points with regards to our families today. Some things that we ought to think about and consider if we want to have families that are in fact built by God. The first point that we want to make is this, that we need to invite God to be a part of our home building, and we need to acknowledge his hand in it. When David had the idea to build a temple, he called Nathan for advice. You may remember this. This is back in 1 Chronicles 17, and this is where God declares that David will not be permitted to build the temple because he was a man of war. And so God did not permit David to build the temple, but he wanted his son Solomon, who would reign in his place, to be the one to build his temple for him. But David then pressed forward to make preparations for the building of the temple by his son Solomon. And so he went to great lengths to prepare for that occasion. In 1 Chronicles 29 and in verse 2, he said, "Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, all the gold and the silver and the brass and the iron and the wood and all those precious stones and all of the different things that were going to be needed to build the temple. Though David couldn't build it, he prepared for it. He prepared all of those things, got all of those things together and ready. And in so doing, he was also acknowledging God's hand in it all. If you have your Bible there in 1 Chronicles 29, I have listed there verses 10 through 19, but really I just want to read verse 16. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 16 says, O Jehovah our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thy holy name cometh of thy hand and is all thine own. And so he acknowledged God's hand in the work that he had done in preparing for the building of the temple. And so he invited God, and he is also acknowledging God's hand in what he was doing. Well, again, Solomon is the one who carried out the work of the temple. With David, by God's order, he built the temple. We can see in 2 Chronicles 6, if you notice in 2 Chronicles 6, you can read about the dedication of the temple once it was completed, and all that was said in pertaining to that. And in that dedication, of that prayer of dedication, Solomon asked God to make all their work, if you will, worthwhile. And he, like his father, he invited God to be a part of their work. And God demonstrated that he accepted the invitation. In 2 Chronicles 7 and in verse 1, it says, Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of Jehovah filled the house. But then also skip down to verse 16. Of chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles. It said, For now have I chosen and hallowed this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And so we could say God accepted the invitation. And we see God, his action in filling that house with his glory. And by the way, other passages of Scripture in the Old Testament talks about how the glory left. And some interesting passages where it's seen leaving. And that, well, that's another whole study. But here the glory of God is seen originally coming when God's hand of approval is put upon it. We must understand that God is not going to force his way into any of our homes. We want to have God to build our homes, but he's not going to force his way into our homes. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 through 11. Matthew chapter 7 and beginning at verse 7, he said, Ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you who, if his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or he shall ask for a fish, and will you give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good gifts, or give good things rather, to them that ask him? If we ask, God will give. Well, as our kind, as our kind Father that he is, he will give us good gifts that we might ask of him. He wants us to build our homes, to be stable, to be able to withstand the difficulties of life. He wants them to be functional. But he's not going to build our house for us unless we invite him to. He's not going to be a part of the building of our house, of our family, if we don't invite him to be a part of that building process. Many families have yet to receive the blessings of a well-built and well-protected home because they have yet to consistently invite God to be a part of their home. But the second aspect of our point here is that of acknowledging God's work. Back in Proverbs 3 and in verse 6, it said, In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Are you torn on what to do or what direction to go within the family? Well, if you want God's help and direction in building your family, then you need to invite and acknowledge. Invite his help and acknowledge the help that he does give. In Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3 and in verses 20 and 21, Paul says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. He who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." We need to turn to God and ask for his help in building our home to be what he wants it to be, to build our family the way he wants it to be built. We need to ask for his help, and then we need to acknowledge the help that he gives along the way. David and Solomon, they both worked hard, but they recognized and they acknowledged God's mercy and grace and benevolence in building God's house, that is, the temple. And if we want God to build our houses, if we want God built homes, then we've got to ask God to build and to protect, and we must acknowledge his hand in all ways that we can. But something else I wanted to look at this morning, and that is we need to follow God's pattern. Now, when you go back to the Old Testament, and we're not going to go back there, but in Exodus, you remember when they came out of the land of Egypt, and they were in the wilderness and beginning their wilderness wandering, and God directed that they build a tabernacle. And you remember the instructions that God gave for the building of the tabernacle? He gave very explicit instructions for all that they were to build. It was to be built according to a certain pattern, and you can find that in Exodus 25 through 31, those chapters. And then in chapters 35 through 39, rather, you'll see that the Israelites followed that pattern in building the tabernacle just as God had said. They followed the pattern for the building of the tabernacle. But you know, when we come to the story of the temple, we don't have those kind of instructions recorded from God in the building of the temple. But apparently God did give a pattern for the building of the temple as well. And you can read about how David gave to his son Solomon the pattern in in 1 Chronicles 28. And in verse 19 of that chapter, it said, "All this, said David, have I been made to understand in writing from the hand of Jehovah, even all the works of this pattern." So apparently God had communicated the pattern to David, and he gave it to Solomon. And so the temple, like the tabernacle, it had to be built like God said. It was designed by God. He gave the pattern ultimately, and that's the way it had to be built. Solomon was not given the freedom to build the temple any such way that he thought was best, because the Lord to build and to guard the house, Solomon had to build it according to God's specifications. And apparently he did. You know, there were perhaps parts that maybe Solomon didn't like. We don't know. We don't have anything to make us think that he disagreed with anything in God's plan. But I mean, here is the king building a temple in which there's a room he's not allowed to even enter in. But that was the pattern. That was the way it was to be built. And that's the way that Solomon built it, because that's the way God wanted it built. Well, if we want God to build and protect our homes, we've got to follow his pattern. As God describes the role of the family in the world, and as he looks at the role of each individual member of the family, we need to consider what's the pattern. And we need to be submissive to God's will and follow the pattern that he has given for us and our role within the family. We need to stop listening to Dr. Spock or Dr. Phil or whatever doctor it is of the day that's telling us how to be parents. And we need to go back to listening to God and following God's pattern for being parents. There are a lot of parents today that are listening to the world, and they're not leading their children in the way that they should. They're failing as parents because they're not following the pattern that God has given for their role within the family. And so in this series, what we're going to be doing is looking carefully at the pattern found in God's Word for every aspect of the family, especially for all of our roles as we comprise our individual family. We're going to look at our roles in that position and what God's pattern for our activity in those roles are. If we'll fulfill our role as God has given the pattern, then we will have a God-built family. And so really these first two points, they show us the bedrock foundation of a God-built and a God-protected family that it's seen here in these points. Our families must be praying to God and Bible-applying families. That's what we're going to need to be. Without connection to God through prayer and the application of His Word to our families, then we labor in vain. But something else I wanted to think about, we need to have a mind to work. We need to have a mind to work. Back in Psalms 127 and verse 2, as we began, in verse 2 of that passage again, it said, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to take rest late, to eat the bread of toil, for so He giveth unto His beloved sleep." Without God in the picture, our work is in vain. That's what he was saying. You know, God has to build the house or protect the city or it's all in vain. And so we've got to have Him on our side. However, this verse does not intend to be a complete guide in the matter. In other words, just because God is building the house doesn't mean we don't have a part to fill. We do have a part to fill. We must step up and fulfill our role. Neither David nor Solomon turned to God to build the house and then just sat back and watched as God built it. David did his part in the preparations for it, and Solomon did his part in the actual construction of it. And each according to their individual abilities. But they recognized God had to be involved, but God would do the work of building the house through them. You look at Nehemiah as he led Israel to rebuild the city of God. You remember that they had been carried away into the Babylonian captivity, and the city had been destroyed and the temple destroyed. And then they come back. They come back and they focus on the work of rebuilding it. In Nehemiah chapter 2 and in verse 8, just to quickly notice a couple of passages there in Nehemiah. Nehemiah 2 and in verse 8, it says, "In a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the castle which appertaineth to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into, and the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me." Then you skip down to verse 18. And it goes on, "And I told them of the hand of my God which was good upon me, as also of the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work." And so, they recognized God's hand in the matter. But they also recognized that they needed to get up and do some work. They strengthened their hands for the good work. And they got up and did the work that needed to be done. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and in verse 6 as well. "So we built the wall, and all the wall joined together unto half the height thereof. For the people had a mind to work." The people had a mind to work. Their mindset was, here's a job that needs to be done, and let's get busy and let's get the job done. They weren't waiting for God to just do it for them. They recognized the need to have God in the mix. They invited and acknowledged God, but at the same time, they had to get up and get busy themselves to do the work. Do you think that you can pray, read your Bible every once in a while, and then just wait for God to build the family that He wants you to have? Do you think that's all that's necessary? If you want your home to be God-built and God-protected, then you've got to be like the Israelites of old. You've got to have a mind to work. You've got to be willing to step up and do what's necessary to make it happen. If you put your hand to the good work, always basing that work on God's pattern, acknowledging His involvement, then you can have success. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and in verse 18, he said, "By slothfulness the roof sinketh in, and through idleness of the hands the house leaketh." Well, it applies to our physical houses, but it also applies to us and our homes, our families. By idleness, the roof sinketh in. If we're unwilling to devote ourselves to the work necessary to make God's plan for the home to work, then problems and perhaps even collapse is what's going to happen. Sometimes it's not easy being the kind of husband or father or wife or mother or child that God wants us to be, but we must devote ourselves to the work or failure is a certainty. He will only work through you to the extent that you are willing to work. So we've got to recognize, we've got to have a mind to work if we want ourselves to have a God-built house or family. But something else, don't be distracted by the mundane. In about 537 BC, about 537 years before Christ is born, the Jews were taken, those Jews that had already 70 years before been taken into captivity, they are now given the opportunity to go back and to rebuild the city and to rebuild the house of God. And you can see a great deal of this in the book of Ezra. According to Ezra chapter 3, the Israelites rebuilt the altar in just their first year that they were back. In the second year, they began the work of the temple itself, and they cleared off the foundation and laid that foundation with great shout of praise for their accomplishment. Ezra 3 verses 8 through 10. Then in Ezra chapter 4, in verses 4 and 5, notice these words. It says, "Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia." And so the people of the land begin to come and give them problems. And so they're hindered in their work of building the temple for some 16 years. They're being hindered. God had sent the Israelites home so they could rebuild his house and to rebuild his city, but they didn't have a mind to work like we were reading about earlier, those under Nehemiah. And so they had not put their hand to the work in quite the same way. What had happened? The Jews had become complacent. The people apparently had become accustomed to being in their land without a temple. And they weren't doing anything to try to resolve that. If you go to the Old Testament book of Haggai, which we studied not terribly long ago here in the auditorium class on Sunday morning. But the book of Haggai is when they have gone back to engage in rebuilding of the temple. And in Haggai chapter 1 and really verses 1 through 8, we could read all of those, skipping verse 1 anyway. We'll start at verse 2. And consider down through verse 8. It says, "Thus speaketh Jehovah of hosts, saying, This people say, it is not time for us to come, the time for Jehovah's house to be built. Then came the word of Jehovah by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your sealed houses, while this house lieth waste? Now therefore, thus saith Jehovah of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye have not filled with are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag into a bag with holes. Thus saith Jehovah of hosts: Consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. And it will, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith Jehovah. While the foundation of the temple lay bare, they've been busy living their daily life. They've been busy, getting their house ready. They've got sealed houses. They've got houses with roofs over them. They're planting crops, and it's never enough. They're gathering water, they're making clothes, they're doing all the things of everyday life, but it's not enough. There's still more of that to be done. And yet they've not found the time to do the work that God had for them to do. They were busy in all of this everyday matters, all these day-to-day affairs and were not doing the more important things of building the house. How often do we become so consumed with worldly pursuits? Secular education, our careers, recreation, entertainment, All these kind of things while procrastinating the work that God wants us to be doing. And especially this is seen in our homes. God has work for us to be doing in our homes, our families, to make them what God wants them to be. And we put it off till a later time. Like they were saying, it is not the time for us to come to the time for Jehovah's house to be built. It's like we're saying it's not the time to do the work necessary to build our house, our family, like God wants it to be built. So we don't put forth the effort. We always mean to get to the spiritual work. We always mean to get to the work needed in building our house, our home, like God wants it to be. But for whatever reason, we seem to have the attitude, it's just not time for it yet. All these other things are so pressing, and so we just keep on pursuing those. Sadly, once that pattern starts, it produces a downward spiral. We keep thinking extra time is going to be coming on the scene at some point in the future where we'll be able to devote ourselves to that work, and that time never comes. We've allowed ourselves to focus our attention on mundane things, and the real important work of building our home as God would have it to be built goes undone. Don't let Satan convince you that your child's secular education is more important than their learning the things of God, or that their recreational activities are more important than family time. Husbands, don't let your pursuit of an income, to take care of your family, cause you to neglect time with your family. Wives, mothers, don't become so busy in all the errands that a busy mother naturally has that you forget to show the love of your life that you still love them. And the same goes with a husband toward his wife. We must simply stop and devote ourselves to the Lord's work, and especially to the Lord's work in our homes. Only then will we be able to accomplish His work, and only then will the Lord build and protect our homes. Remember Colossians 3 and in verse 2, where Paul said, "Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth." We need to think about the spiritual work that we have. And this is a spiritual work we have in building our families, building our homes like God would have it to be. Unless the Lord builds our house, it will crumble, it will fall. One final point we'll make, and that is to never stop serving the Lord. Never stop serving. You know, when we think about Israel, this was one where they constantly failed. We can hardly turn a page in the Old Testament without reading that Israel failed in serving God. It's found everywhere, it seems like, in the Old Testament. In a matter of weeks from their being delivered from their bondage in Egypt, what were they doing? They were melting down all their gold and making a golden calf to worship. That's how quickly they fell away. And it just happened over and over again. In fact, it went along something like this. The story of the nation of Israel was that they would be oppressed. They would cry unto God for mercy and to Him humbling themselves to God. And thus He would deliver them and bring them back in the fold with Him. But then soon thereafter, they would again turn away unto idols, turn away unto the worship of gods. And God would again punish them, oppressing them with another nation, because they weren't following Him. As God had promised early on, that eventually led to His removing them from their promised land, taking them away into captivity. And ultimately, He abandoned the house and the city that He had built and protected. The house and city that Solomon was talking about in Psalms 127. Nebuchadnezzar took Judah captive. He tore down the walls of the city. He totally destroyed the Temple Mount. He wiped it clean. Every rock, there was not one rock left upon another. Excavations of the city of Jerusalem shows that to be a fact. They basically, this big, long, flat platform where the temple was built, and they just pushed all of the rocks off. Every stone was pushed off, and now they're found in piles down at the bottom because they utterly destroyed the city. But just stop and think about it. God allowed His city to be destroyed. He allowed His house to be destroyed. Why did God abandon the house and the city that He had built and protected? Because they had abandoned Him. And so He allowed it to happen. if we want God to stay with us and our family, then we've got to work. We've got to not bank on a few good years of service to God and that He's going to continue to bless us and our families. We've got to persevere in His kingdom, doing all the things that He's asked us to do, all the things that we've talked about all our lives. Never stop serving the Lord. No matter what Satan hurls our way, no matter what life holds in store, no matter what death-filled valleys that we may have to go through in life, cling to the shepherd, trust in Him, and serve Him, and He'll bring us through to the end. I believe that principle is also true, of course, with respect to the family, that we've got to never stop calling on the Lord for His help in building our family. Never stop acknowledging His work in building our homes the way He wants it to be built. Never stop acknowledging His rich blessings that make all of that possible. We've got to never stop working hard to be all that we can be and should be in the family. We must always keep our hearts focused on the truly important things of life. We made reference earlier to Matthew chapter 7. And in verses 24 through 27, again, the story of the two houses, where the one was built on the foundation of rock and the other was built upon the sand. And the storms came, and that first one that was built on the rock was able to withstand the storms, but the second one collapsed with the storm. Well, having a God-built, God-protected home, it doesn't mean avoiding the storms. It means being given the strength and protection to carry us through those storms when they do come, and they will come. These days, we are willing to do so much for our families, so much that we're willing to do with the thought of making them stable and functional, but are we really willing to do the most important thing, and that is to let God build our house? That's what we need to do, is let God build our house, and what we've tried to do today is to just simply emphasize that point. Now, next Lord's Day morning, we're going to talk about the institution of marriage and what all is involved in that, and so we'll look at that in our lesson next Lord's Day morning. And hope that you'll be able to be here and be a part of that lesson. We need to build our families according to God's pattern. We need to build our family so it'll be what God wants it to be. We're also a part of a spiritual family, the church. And it needs to be built according to God's pattern as well. We've got to have a family, a church family, that's like God wants it to be. Are you doing your part in that area as well? Do you have a mind to work? I hope and pray that you do. Not just in the family, but also in the church. Maybe you've fallen short. Maybe you've not been doing like you should. Maybe you've been hindering the work that the church has been given to do. Well, we want to call upon you this morning to make things right. We've got to first of all humble ourselves and acknowledge our wrong and ask God's forgiveness. As a child of God, we can go to God in prayer and ask Him to forgive it. He's promised to do so. If you'd like, we'd be happy to pray for you this morning that the sins of your life might be forgiven. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is no better time to enter and become a part of His family than right now. And so if you're here this morning and you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we are inviting you to come while together we're standing and while we're singing.